now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Actually, this week, Just Energy Radio is being hosted by James Opiancic, that is being Black Knight Talk Radio and host of Feet to the Fire on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Dr. Rita has been a guest on there many a time, and she asked me to sit in since she is out and about with her Dr. Rita traveling psychic show. She's at out and about throughout Texas doing something, making appearances. And so I am here holding on the fort. Our next guest, Alexis Rice, Numerology, the Magic of Numbers. Alexis has a multipreneur. She's spoken in over 50 cities, offered 3 books. She has degrees in psychology, nutrition, biology, and chemistry. Alexis trades in the stock market for many years and is licensed in real estate and active in multifamily housing leasing. Boy, that's a mouthful. AlexisRice.com. That's E-L-E-X-I-S, Rice.com. And let's see, hit the magic button and welcome Alexis to Just Energy Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you doing today? I'm doing pretty good.
Well. Good.
And now, that's a pretty big mouthful of things that you're doing there. And I'm wondering, is numerology been a big factor in all of those professions and studying?
A big factor. That's an interesting word. I factor it into most everything that I do.
So, I mean, how universal is, I guess what I'm asking is, numerology can be a benefit to all of these areas as far as...
Like in the housing industry, you can do the numerology on your address, and it seems like that different addresses, even if you like live on one street but you move to one particular apartment versus another apartment, the numerology changes. And the numerology number tends to influence the energy that the housing carries. So that's how I would use it in the real estate world, is for the numerology of the address.
Okay, well, let's use that for example. Say I have a numerologically poor address. Can I simply change it? Would that help? Or is it something that would be innately attached to a location?
Well, now, it's attached to the location, but I'm not sure that I would look at it as poor, because let's say that one person was in a number that totaled a 9 for an address, but a 9 may work well with their numbers, where maybe a 9 wouldn't work so well with your numbers, because there's only 9 numbers, obviously, and some numbers go together more harmoniously than other numbers.
So there really isn't a bad number. It's a bad combination.
Yeah, and there's a challenging side to each number as well as an easy side to each number. So, like, for example, if someone was a 3, they usually tend to be, you know, pretty creative type of a person, either artistic or writer or just very creative. So if they lived in a 3 address, they may feel like all of a sudden they got a burst of inspiration and they're more creative than they've been in for a while. And another person that's not a 3, maybe it wouldn't interest them because they're not particularly creative anyway.
And how do you determine what your number is?
A couple of ways. Your name at birth, the way that it was on the birth certificate, it doesn't really matter how many times you change your name because it becomes an add-on after that. So your birth name on the birth certificate gives you one of your numbers, and then your birthday, which ties in with astrology, which I've also... done astrology for many years, then your birthday. So you would add the whole birthday, like, say, December the 10th, but 1936. So you would add all the numbers together and then reduce them to a single digit, and then that's your birth number. So you have a name number and a birthday number.
And is it possible for those two numbers to be, like, a better combination than others?
Yes. Carl Jung was an astrologer, and he says that we all have conflicting agendas. Let's say you wanted to travel and see the world, but there was a part of you that was very much of a homebody. So that may be your conflicting agenda, or someone who who very much wanted to be married and have family, but yet they were very independent and didn't like to be tied down. So you can, your name can be one number and your birthday may be another, and they're either complementary with each other or it may be a part of your conflicting agenda.
Yeah, okay. Well, that sounds interesting. Now, what if you have something that doesn't have numbers? Like, can you determine a number for something you don't have? I mean, let's just make up a person doesn't know when you were born and you don't know their birth name. Is there somehow a way to figure out their number?
Well, even if something doesn't have a number but it's got a name, because even back in, like, the Book of Revelation in Hebrew, every letter becomes a number. So let's say someone's name was, whatever, Anne, A-N-N-E. Each letter would become a number. So you can have a name and not have a number, and it still reduces to a number. But if something, I don't know what, I'm trying to think of an example.
I mean, if we had a Jane Doe was found, she left at a police station, and they can guess that the age is around, 4 months, but they don't know a name and they don't really know a birth date.
That would be an example. Yeah, that would be a bit of a challenge because you wouldn't know the name or the birthday. And I guess, like, for example, with an animal, that may be true a lot. Someone may, get a cat or something, and they know approximately when the cat was born, but not the exact birthday of the cat, or certainly, and you probably name the cat yourself. But after you've been around someone for a period of time, and if you know a little bit about a numerology, you could kind of feel if they're acting more like a 3 or a 4 or a 5 or whatever their number was. So we can discuss some of the qualities of each of the numbers, and it can help you understand. And then every year we're in a different number, too. So, like, every year we'll have a different lesson for each of us to learn. And so the year that we're in, it's kind of like that's the theme of that year.
Oh, I see. So just like if you didn't know when you were born in astrology, you can kind of reverse the chart to figure out the traits and kind of narrow it down. The same would apply to numbers. I imagine it'd be even easier with numbers rather than...
To me, it's a lot easier with numbers. I taught astrology for many years, still do occasionally. Numerology is much easier to learn and can give you a lot of the same information, and it's an easier thing to learn because you're basically learning the meaning of 9 numbers. And if you can add and or get a calculator or, find a program, then you can get all the answers to these questions.
Didn't take too long to get our first question in the chat room. And we talked about your birth name. What if you change your name? Does that affect your number at all, or are you still your birth number regardless?
That's another great question. Just like, for example, if somebody's birthday is, September the 6th, they'll always be a Virgo and their sun sign, and they'll never not be a Virgo. But through progression in astrology, their sun will progress in a number of years, like, say, 15, 20 years, and then their progressed sun will be in Libra. So they'll begin to take on some of the traits of Libra, even though they're really a Virgo. So the same thing when you change your name, like someone could be born with a name. I did that with a lady this week. She was born with a particular name, and then at 15, she got married, so her name changed. And then she got divorced at, 17, 18, and then her name changed. So anyway, she's had a name change any number of times. And then she went back to her initial birth name. Each time her name changed, we didn't know this till we did it, she started out as a 3 and changed to a 5 and then came back to a 3 and a 5, and she just kept sticking with the pattern of a 3 and a 5, which fits who she is anyway, in my experience of her. So when at times in her life when her name was a 3, because she took that name back, she is an extremely creative person and does creative things for a living. Then when her name becomes a 5, that's a real, real freedom lover, fun-loving person, and doesn't like to be fenced in or confined. She's done most of her world travels during the time that her name was a 5, and not in any kind of committed relationship because she's very freedom-oriented.
Now, can you take dates, events that happen on a date, and analyze the event by the date that it happens on?
Yes, you can tell what the underlying meaning is. Like, for example, today, if we added up all the numbers in today, it's a 4. The number comes to a 4. So we'd add up 9, 10, 2001. There's no zeros, don't have any numerical value. So the number would come up to a 4. So the purpose of today, 4 is a work number. So this is a very work-oriented day. Mercury is retrograde, by the way, but in this 4-day, the point is we're all supposed to be making sure that we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's and getting all of our work done correctly to close out this week, particularly because Mercury's been retrograde for the last close to 3 weeks. It turns back direct this weekend. So in our work, there may have been some, things in contracts or papers or emails that were misunderstood, to say the least, on the other side. So now today we get a chance to go back and see if there's anything we can do about that, as well as the beginning of next week. So the purpose of today, it's a very work-oriented day.
Yeah, because I often kept saying to myself, I'm going to keep track of Mercury retrograde, and of course I keep forgetting. And it's not until I'm buried in the middle of it in confusion that I get a message. Someone says, it's all, by the way, you know, Mercury's retrograde. I'm like, oh, it explains a lot.
Exactly. Mercury goes retrograde every 88 days for about 21 days. So we've lived through it many times. And what's funny in my practice, people will call me from across the country, and some people will start out with, well, I don't even believe in astrology, but when is Mercury retrograde? I thought, okay. So some people care just about that. It isn't awful, and we've lived through it many times, but it usually, the computers break, the cell phones break, cars are kind of crazy. Things are said, and the other person, there's a misconstruing of words, and one person saying one thing and another means another, and it just seems like there's an overload of that during the Mercury retrograde time. One year at Christmas, Mercury was retrograde, and several years later, they found all the packages in a post office in some small town, much further away than where they were mailed, and that's a typical Mercury retrograde. Somebody just, I guess, got tired for the day and set them aside.
Yeah, if I was the postal worker, I would just say, well, look, it was Mercury retrograde. It wasn't my fault, you know, and then it's okay, you know. Well, anyway, let me give you an example. And let's look at something like, the December 21st, 2012, or September 1st, 2001, December 11th, 2001. How can we look at those two events numerologically in your system and kind of figure out what's going on with those?
Okay, well, I'm not as concerned about as a lot of 2012 advocates. What I think 2012 will be is I think we're going to look back and find out more things, the things coming out of the darkness into the light, more information about in 2012 we will have, of course, than we have now, and we will look back and see, oh, those were the things that we started in 2010, because I think this has been one of our most challenging years, and I think that some more of it will be revealed by the time we get to 2012. But, for example, if we were going to do the dates you mentioned, so you want to look at 12-21, 2012?
Yes.
Okay. So we just add all that up. Of course, the zero doesn't have any value, so you just add it up, and you come up with a 2. Well, every 9 days we have a 2. So there's nothing out of the ordinary specifically about that. Then I would go to astrology. But the purpose of a 2-day or the number 2 period is it's the inclination, I call it the urge to merge. You want to do things 2 by 2. You want to form partnerships. Even it's a day that even if you're running errands or have the day off, you prefer to spend it with someone than be alone that particular day. So just reducing that day to a 2 wouldn't tell us as much information as one might be looking for, knowing that there's been a lot written about that day.
Well, you can take that 2,
I guess,
on
2012 for me.
You could take that 2 and then mix that in with looking at it astrologically, or if you want to look at it through the alleged Mayan calendar interpretation. I mean, but that 2 can be brought in to kind of into the mix to give clarity then.
Exactly. Yes. And that's
or flavor,
that's
clarity or
what
flavor.
I do. Like if we were going to look at that date specifically, then I would look in the ephemeris. That's what an astrologer uses to see where everything will be at that particular time. So I'd look at 12-21 of 2012 and see what's going on specifically that date. It looks out of the ordinary for anything else. And so it's the sun is still in Sagittarius that day, but we have that every year. the moon is in Aries that day, but we have that every month. So, for example, I would go through the whole, everything that's here and look at all that and then mix it with the two, because that would be the energy of the day, and it would give me more information than I had to start with. But I still think that the most difficult cycles astrologically that we're in have been this year in 2010. And it's going to be kind of the causative year, if you will. By the time we get to 2012, some of the other difficulties we'll look back and go, well, that's based upon some decisions that we made in 2010. You know, a lot has been written about the cardinal climax, and that's the astrologically some of the cycles that we're in at this time that's creating some of the big changes that we've made this year.
So the decisions made this year are going to set the tone for the next cycle or...
Yes. You can even just look at it. For example, getting the financial reform bill passed, that's going to have lasting effects. Getting the health care bill passed will have lasting effects. The oil spill, lasting effects. So I think by the time we get to 2012, we'll know a whole lot more about these things, and we'll look back and go, that's what we did in 2010. This was the beginning of what started this.
You know,
whether it's bad or good, if we want to assess it either way. But we will see that it primarily started in 2010.
Personally, I'm so tired with what's going on in this world that I would either want it to, like, go into a new age of enlightenment or blow up, but not stay the same. You know,
I understand.
I'll take it either way.
But, you know, what's interesting about the 2012 phenomena, there's a whole section of the bookstore now devoted to that. So it is selling books and tapes, and, you know, somebody's making a lot of money off the sensationalism of it. And who knows? But it's also in some ways in a way to avoid of what's going on right now, you know, because what can we really do about that until we get there?
Right.
And then there's a lot of things.
You know, it's funny because years ago I was, you know, interested in the, you know, Mayan calendar, you know, just not really obsessed by it, but interested in it. And I started using the 2012 in some screen names and computer and stuff at the time, and no one was really that interested in it. And boy, did it. It got exploded. I mean, my first real introduction to the whole real 2012 phenomena was when I did an interview with Ian Lungol, who's now passed on. But he was talking all about the consciousness structure of the calendar and all that. That was really kind of amazing. That was in 2004 when I first... heard of that. And boy, now, you could, like you say, you go into the bookstore, there's a whole section on 2012.
There is. It has its own aisle now. Just a whole section of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we were going to do that, we should have had a whole aisle on 2010, if we're going to do that,
That's an interesting concept, because what you're saying is you're taking responsibility for what you are creating in the future rather than sitting on your hands waiting to see what the future is going to create. You know, I mean, that's a very good perspective, I think.
Yes. And it's also, in some ways, an avoidance. Because if I sit and discuss 2012 and fantasize about, you know, I can either awfulize it or make it fabulous. Either way, I can go either way with it. Then I'm really not taking any action today on, like, what's the most important time in my life, the next 24 hours. So I'm not taking action today on things that may create the future. Thing that I find is interesting about this time is so many of the movies that are out, like the movie Inception, fantastic show. But a lot of people that I know have seen the show and go, oh, well, I don't even understand that. Well, it's happening on so many levels, four or five levels, and the movie keeps saying, remember what you once knew, and this is all a dream, and drop to the dream within the dream and see where the idea began that carried you down that trail. I mean, that's the essence of a lot of the movie for me. Well, if this is a dream state and we dropped within the dream of 2010, what could we do now that may affect some of the outcome for 2012? Instead of stepping into 2012 and acting like every bit of it's fated to be the way that it is, because a lot of it's choice. Some of it is,
right,
and some of it's not.
And that's one of my distresses with people who are looking at end-time eschatology whether it be Christian or Mayan, they have a predetermined type of a outlook that they're following this. And I really, my personal aspect of it is that you're creating your future. I mean, we're all part of it. Now, there's billions of people, so I can't create the future for billions of people.
That's
but
right.
The billions of people create the future for billions of people. And if we were to just concentrate on acting more civil to one another, and embracing one another and helping one another, just that alone would be like this huge wave of change that would manifest in the future.
Exactly. For example, we had a tornado hit Dallas this week, and so for, oh gosh, probably an hour or two on the news, that's all you saw. So, and yet there were still people out driving around. So that was a choice. I mean, the news and everywhere is saying, we've got, you know, tornadoes hitting. So you could either go in the house and get in the bathtub and put your car undercover, do whatever you do, or you could continue to drive along the road. And I sat right here where I am and watched some people just drive along the road. That was their choice. And I'm sure lots of other people were in the house getting prepared. Well, the tornado did hit, and it caused a little difficulty in a smaller, in another part of town. But it didn't devastate everything. But even as the news was being stated, we were at choice about what we were going to do about that.
Mm.
That's the way I feel about all this that's going on. So, a great deal of it we have choice. Some of it we do not. I mean, if someone is killed instantly in a head-on collision, as I had a member that was, that it doesn't appear there was a lot of choice in that. But there is a choice if someone, you know, finds out that you may be predisposed to diabetes, but yet they take action now and do what they can versus if they just ignore that. That's how I believe. See, astrology and numerology to me are like if you went to the doctor and, you know, and he read the x-ray to you. The x-ray is not the cure. The x-ray is the information. And then what are you going to do with the information? And astrology and numerology is the x-ray. It's the information. And then what will you do with that? A lot of people use it to awfulize and scare people. And some people use it to slip into magical thinking and make it seem like things are going to be fantastic with no action behind it. And it really is just the information.
Somebody asked in the chat room, how do you convert from letters to numbers? Is it like 1 through 26? Is that
great
the value
question.
And then you work it down?
That's a great question. So, you would take the numbers 1 through 9 and draw it across the top of a piece of paper, 1 through 9, and then you would write A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, you know, when you get to 9, so A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. At J, you start back over, and J is a 1.
Oh.
So A is a 1 and J is a 1. So then all the 26 letters now have their number. So, for example, E is a 5.
I see. Okay. Well, that's good. And if you come up with a number 11, is that that's really a 1, isn't it, or is that a 2?
That's a 2. But
it's a 2.
In numerology, we say that 11, 22, and 33 are master numbers. So what that means is an 11 is a 2, but it's also supposed to remain as an 11. And a 22 is really a 4, but it's supposed to remain as a 22, and the same with 33. 33 is a 6, but it's to remain as a 33, only because those are said master numbers, which has a little bit of a different meaning.
Well, that's interesting. Now, when I hear about the 33rd-degree Masons, I wonder if that's something to do with that.
Theoretically, yes. A percentage of them know about the wisdom of numerology.
Now, can numerology be used it's a tool, but a tool, you know, you can plant, you can hoe the ground and plant with the hoe, or you can hack somebody's head off with a hoe.
Exactly.
Can numerology be used as a weapon as well?
Possibly it could. Let's say that someone had a lot of twos, that their birth number was a 2 and their name was a 2, and so they had lots of twos present in their entire chart that you're looking at. That would mean that they're more inclined to like to do everything 2 by 2. So I guess the difficult thing with having so many twos is they may be codependent or have a tendency to tolerate too many things off too many people and an avoidance from being alone. So if somebody knew that, they may try to like partner with this person knowing, well, they'll put up with most anything because they don't want to be alone on this matter. So
okay,
I suppose
so you could use the you could use the information rather than hurl the information, so to speak.
Exactly.
You know, like a weapon. You can manipulate it. And some people might say that people who are predators could kind of just feel that out of people. They can see when they got a sucker. Without even knowing, using new analogy, sort of there's an energy there that's being picked up, and so that energy is also being conveyed numerologically then, right?
Right. But even on a, maybe not such a dark note, but let's say that someone was, invited people over and said, hey, we're having a party today, but they invited a lot of people with only fours. Well, fours are workers. So this person may have really had in mind, gee, I need my house painted, my closets cleaned, and, the floor swept. If you invite a lot of fours, they wind up getting the job done. So you just got all your work done free under the guise of, gee, we're having a party, because fours are the workers.
I could just see that. I'd like to invite you to my party, but could you give me your birth name and your birth date? I'll get back to you whether or not you're invited.
Exactly. You may or may not be on the list. But, that can work in the reverse, too. Fives like to play a lot. So let's say you've got a really serious project with a deadline and you need everybody to focus and get the work done, and you invite several fives, well, they're going to want to play and joke and laugh and turn it into a party, so it could be a distraction having all the fives there.
Now, it's kind of interesting being in astrology as well, because I first got into the outside-of-the-box thinking, we'll say, through astrology. It just happened to be the first thing I picked up. As I had a life-changing kind of thing happen in 97, and that's when the cocoon opened up, however you want to call it. And one thing I found was fascinating in astrology is that some of the problems I had prior to it, when I actually looked at the birth charts of myself and people involved, I understand, and so on and so on. So it was kind of interesting. It wasn't like I read it into it. It popped out when I looked at it. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's a very helpful tool. People use it a lot for, if you had a company and you were going to hire employees, or if you were going to go into business with someone, how well do we communicate, let alone if you were going to date or marry, so forth. You can see how they do on many levels, how do they do mentally and physically and spiritually and emotionally and financially. So it lets you know what people's natural tendencies are, to see if this is going to be an easy fit or if it's going to take a lot of work to get this done. For example, Mercury is how we think. It's how we process information and how we communicate and how we think. So if somebody's got, let's say, Mercury in Aries, well, they want the information real quick. Get it, got it, gone. Don't bore me with the facts. Just give it to me quick and I'm out of here. Versus if, say, someone had Mercury in Scorpio, they want all the facts, all the details, and then some more details and some more facts, and they want the whole story because they're a detective and they want to put all the pieces to the puzzle together. So
that's
I'm not
fun.
Sure how well these people would communicate without a lot of work.
I'm chuckling because I have Mercury in Aries, Mercury in Venus. I mean, Aries in Mercury, Aries in Venus, Aries in Sun, and Aries in Rising.
Yeah, so you get it. You're basically, Aries people are very, it's just like the Nike commercial. Just do it. So they're just ready to go. They're ready, set,
yeah,
go.
I have learned a lot, and I have a lot of bruises as well from just doing it. So
now, the beauty of that is that Jupiter is in Aries, and it'll be there off and on, but mostly on through June. And this is creating some opportunities that are very lovely and hadn't been there in 12 years for people with any of their planets in Aries.
Good,
so it's, I call it Santa Claus. So Santa Claus will be hovering around a lot between now and June for people with planets in Aries.
Boy, I sure could use Santa.
starting January the 23rd through June, you're going to get some real nice opportunities because Jupiter will enter Aries again and remain there until June. So, it's just going to bring lots of opportunities. Now, you will get to say yes, no, or later, but at least it brings the opportunities.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. You still got to, make a choice, go with it or whatnot. I also discovered that my ex-wife is Taurus, and I realized that Aries and Taurus is not exactly a great combo. But I also learned that my moon is Taurus, so I can see why yes. there was attraction, even though if it wasn't necessarily good overall. See, so I mean, every, you know, people say astrology is baloney. I said, no, it makes sense.
And it's a good point, because when you're looking at two people, I would look at the placement of all 12 of yours and all 12 of hers. So
right.
the moons are how people do emotionally. If people are going to be married, it is nice if the moons are compatible. If it's a physical or sexual union, you would want to look at the Marses, and the Marses are compatible, and Mercury's are communication. But in a man's chart, you just spoke that. You've got a Taurus moon, which tells about the women in your life. So you tend to be drawn to Taurus women. Now, whether or not all 12 of her planets went well with all 12 of yours, I don't know. But you tend to be drawn to Taurus women having a Taurus moon.
No, in fact, every woman I've known, whether it be, you know, mother, family, you know, girlfriend, wife, you know, whatever, none of them have been good. None of them have been good.
Well.
And, I mean, you know, people talk about it, and I realize that one of the things that I'm here to do on this planet is going to be work. Work, learn, grow, and help people work, learn, and grow. And when I look back at these relationships and the trouble in them, every single one of them, except perhaps my mother, who's, you know, pretty stable. She's a double Aquarius. But they've all have grown from my influence. If I can look back, honestly, just look back at it. After I've been with them for whatever relationship it was, when they've left, they have changed in a way that I've affected it. And I thought, I said, wow, that's pretty interesting. You know, I mean, maybe that's supposed to happen with everybody.
The reason for that is because, well, first of all, Aries is a one in numerology. So you're very independent. A lot of Aries people like to do most things alone. I mean, they like people around occasionally, but they also like to do things alone. But you've got courage, and you'll start things and move on and start things and move on. And so you offer up people courage, because like 80% of our behavior is learned through a mentor, and they'll watch you start something, and they'll go, okay, well, if he can do that, then I can do it. So it serves as an inspiration for people. But every time we're in a relationship, I call both people are stoochers. We're all students and teachers in union. They taught you, you taught them, and they taught you, and you taught them. And it's all a teaching tool and a learning device. I taught the Course in Miracles for 15 years. And so the Course says that everything is a teaching tool and a learning device. So you taught them things, and they taught you things. And then when the contract's up and you're complete, then it's time to go on to the next thing. But Aries people many times like to do things solo. And because Aries people tend to do things rapidly, not everybody can keep up the pace.
Yeah, it's funny because having the Taurus moon, from what I understand, I want things to stay the same forever, but then having the Aries, you want change, and I think that's also been a reason for my internal conflict.
Yeah, and that's what Jung would say is your conflicting agenda. So your Taurus people like sameness. They like to repad and redecorate the rut, and they'd rather talk about the change than make the change. Now, Taurus needs to be around music. Music, the arts, gardening, and cooking. It keeps them peaceful and centered. And Aries is kind of has the athlete archetype. They're busy climbing and doing and running and doing all sorts of things. But Aries, but no one is 100% anything. So when I say Aries,
right.
I'm not talking about a person. Because the most I've ever seen in one sign is seven planets. And that was the Capricorn overload day about 16 years ago. So even though someone has seven planets in Capricorn, they still don't have 12. So nobody's 100%
right.
of anything. So we all have some right. conflicting agenda. I did meet a lady the other day. She was born, I believe, in 1962. And in her case, she actually had eight planets in the same sign. I'd never seen that before.
Well,
eight of her 12 influences. So, but again, aside from that, nobody's 100% anything.
Well, we're going to stop it here and take a break, and we will come back and continue talking with Alexis Rice on numerology and astrology and many other things. Her website is alexisrice.com. That's ElexisRice.com. We'll continue live, Just Energy Radio, after these messages. So hold on.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages.
Go deep inside yourself and venture into the realm of the unconscious mind with my Meditating on the Kabbalah guided imagery audio CDs. Discover who you are and what you want in life. Meditating on the Kabbalah can help you to open, clear, and revitalize the energetic pathways of your subtle being. They will support you in your spiritual quest by helping you to access the profound insights and inner guidance you need as you work in alignment with your highest good. Let them help you to release negative thoughts and emotions and clear away any limitations that may be keeping you from experiencing your full potential. Walk down the path to health, healing, understanding, and enlightenment with Meditating on the Kabbalah. Order your copy today at www.soulhealer.com. That's right, that's www.soulhealer.com.
Hi, I'm James Altayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. Listen to Dr. Rita's Soul Healer Moment live each third Sunday night of the month on Feet to the Fire. www.feettofire.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rita Louise, the host of Just Energy Radio and the founder of the Institute of Applied Energetics. Start a new career today on the leading edge of alternative health and healing. The Institute of Applied Energetics can help you develop the specialized skills you need to work as an energy medicine practitioner, intuitive counselor, or professional medical intuitive. Besides our outstanding technical instruction, our programs also support you in creating and building a successful business in this rapidly growing field. Be a catalyst for changing the way healthcare is done around the world. Contact the Institute of Applied Energetics right away or visit AppliedEnergeticsInstitute.com.
And now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
All right, that was my fault. I'm talking away with the mic off.
And guess what? Mercury's retrograde.
Well, okay. See, I got a reason. I can do. Well, let me quickly. I gave a question here during that music, which no one heard. So let me quickly go over that. The mind yoga question for the week: the soul urge, as it is sometimes called, the heart's desire, is made up from the sum of what letters in the full birth name? That is the question. Send an email to Dr. Rita. I'll read it again. The soul urge, or as it is sometimes called, the heart's desire, is made up from the sum of what letters in your full birth name? The prize is the 5-Minute Miracle by Tara Springett. So there we go. And we're back live with Alexis Rice, and welcome back to the show.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm talking away, and no one's answering, and I look up on the little switchboard here, and I see, uh-oh. So,
can we run through the 9 numbers and kind of talk a little bit about maybe what
sure.
each number means?
Sure, that sounds good.
Okay, well, the one typically is the big, you know, they're the ones who start things. One is the obviously the first number and tends to start things and move on, and it does carry with it a similar energy to Aries. So what might be some of their downfalls is maybe they don't finish things so well or they're too independent. And then the twos like to do things 2 by 2, the urge to merge. And they do well as a team and as partners. And if they have difficulties like in their astrology chart, they may be a two, but have real difficulties in relationships, even though that's something that they want and need. They just have maybe a lot of difficulties around that area. Threes are the talkers. They like to speak and write and talk and communicate. A lot of threes wind up in sales of one sort or the other, even if you don't call it sales. They're like in sales or marketing or networking because they take this group of people and connect them with this group or this person and connect them with this person. And they're very creative type of people. And fours are very similar to earth signs. They're very work-oriented and they like to be they're the foundation and the base and kind of hold the fort together kind of people. And fives are the it's usually the fun energy. They like to play, party, laugh, travel, have fun, good sense of humor, very, very playful by nature. But let's say somebody had a 4 and a 5. Well, they may be workaholics and playaholics, and they would always be working for a balance between that. And 6, I call it the family number. 6 people are very family-oriented and tend to carry kind of the mother archetype or the father archetype, but they're very family-oriented, and they turn their friends into what feels like family. If they open a business, that begins to feel like family. The number 7 is the kind of get it together, get organized, get all your ducks in a row number. So, like, if it was a 7 day, that would be the day to get organized and just get all the details handled and so forth. And 7s are very analytical and contemplative and are always working to try to get more organized. 8 is the money number. So 8, many times when people are going into an 8 year, they make a lot of money, or if they're having challenges, because the purpose of the 7 year was to get organized for the 8 year, if they have challenges going into the 8 year, then the 8 year could be lots of financial difficulties, like foreclosures or, you know, bankruptcies, getting cars repossessed, that sort of thing, if they had difficulties going into the year. But the primary focus is on financial, money and power. And then the 9 number is the end. It's kind of like Pisces. It's a reviewing of, like, say, the last 9 years, or it's a very contemplative reviewing type of a person to see, what do I want to do next? And then you start the cycle over again with a 1. So 9 sometimes sign on for lots of life lessons and an attempt to kind of review everything all in one fell swoop, so to speak. Then, of course, we have the 11, the 22, and the 33. The 11's been said to be like, channeling, like channeling from God to earth. But 11 is the 2 numbers standing side by side, like Cahill Gibran says, let there be spaces in your togetherness. So 11's are like 2 independent ideas or 2 independent people standing nearby, so there's space for information and things to channel through. And the 22, they're total 4s, so work, and even if their work turns out to be one of, volunteering for a large organization, but work in the sense of their soul's work. But the 2s like to do everything 2 by 2. And 3s are the 3 and 3, totals of 6, which is family, but 33 is a master number. So usually they're in some form of communication is very important. They may be a master communicator or own a marketing company or something where they, like mergers where they help this company merge with this company, because the 3 is the connector number. And then just because someone is a master number doesn't mean necessarily that they've mastered, they could be a 22 and a master golfer. You know, they may have gained some mastery of something in their life. It is not necessarily of a spiritual nature, although it can be, because that's something to be, I guess, cultivated and learned over time. And then every number kind of has its challenging side, its shadow side, if you will, and its good side. I think that's where we have choice. You can look at the numbers and then choose which side of the coin you're going to operate from. Sometimes just for fun, you can ask a question, like maybe the question you're contemplating all day, and almost every time you look at the clock, it's got similar numbers. It'll first be like 2:30, and then it'll be like 3:20. And so the answer is 5. And then you look at it at some other point in the day. So you can just use it for fun things. If you're asking a question, you need an answer, and then suddenly you'll just look up and this number's present. You'll be standing in the grocery store and there's a tablet and it's got this number on it. So sometimes numbers can just be fun ways of getting signs or answers to specific questions. Once you understand what a person's number is, either by their birth name or their birthday, then you can speak their language, like Psychology 101, just kind of enter their language and enter their world and stay in rapport. In the world of NLP, we say that inside rapport, anything's possible, and outside rapport, nothing is possible. So I think we can use numbers to help maintain rapport with people as well, or get out of rapport if that's what you choose to do.
Right.
It can be used for just so many things, just depending upon how anybody wants to use it. And keep in mind that it's only the information, and then what are you going to do with it? When mixed with astrology, it gives you lots of information. And then some people even, you know, play with cards or various other things, because that can give you information as well.
So if you have this information, is it like an energy that you can work with?
Let me give you an example. I have some people around me, and they're adults into their 50s, and they decided to start taking dance classes. Well, she did it because they had a wedding to go to and wanted them to take some dance classes so they could dance at the wedding. He is a 4, however. So once he started in dance classes, he turned it into a job. He then built a dance floor, and then he went and bought a camera and filmed them dancing and then started critiquing their dance and how the dance could be better. He seriously did, even though he had a full-time job. And they became very good dancers, and they wound up going to the U.S. Open. And now he sits on panels of judges and judges dance competitions. So he turned it into a job. She was wanting to learn to dance well, because she's a 5, to have fun at a wedding.
Yeah.
So most anything he starts, he winds up turning it into a job in one way or the other. And her motivation was to do it for pure fun. Then after he kind of wears her out, turning it into a job, she gets off of that and tries to find something else.
Right.
Like bicycle riding, but then he, of course, has to time it and exactly how far did we go and how many calories did we burn, and, you know, so it's turned into a job. That's why Forrest
did
it.
He actually built his own bicycle and improved the design.
Oh, but he did have it down to exactly how far we've traveled and, you know, the right kind of tires, and, oh, you know, it turns into a job. But that's what Forrest have a tendency to do. And all she was wanting to do is could we just find a fun hobby?
You know, we have someone who is calling here wanting to ask a question. Do you want to take a phone call? We'll try to sneak one in here.
Yeah, depending upon how in-depth it is, but yes, that's fine.
Okay. Well, let's see what they say. See how it turns out. Clicking the button, we have 703.
I'm not going to marry the person I'm crazy about, right?
Well.
And then I got an email.
I guess they're listening on that number. So we'll go back here. How would you suggest somebody who just said, wow, I never thought about this? Should they go look at their birth number and then look at their, you know, their birth date, their address? You know, how should they kind of like step one?
Just for fun, I'd start with the birthday because it's easy. You take all of your numbers, just like you're in elementary school, and add them up and down in the columns. In other words, if you're born in the month of 12, it's 1 and 2. So you just add everything in a column, and then you'll come down to the bottom, and it'll equal whatever it equals. Like if it equals 37, then 3 and 7 equals 1. So then you can at least reduce everything down to exactly what your birth number is, and just play with it for a while and see if you think that fits. The name, again, you would draw out and create that chart for yourself so that every letter becomes a number, and you can play with you know, what your name was if you changed it. Like somebody's name may be Robert, but yet he goes by Bob, so I would probably work with Robert since that was on his birth name, but he goes by Bob and people call him Bob all day long, so he carries more of the energy of Bob, even though Robert's what the real answer is. So I would use the two numbers and see how they blend together or not.
That's kind of interesting, because I told you I went through this little thing in 97, and I used to be called by everybody Jim at that time, but I moved into a new circle of people, and from that point on, I was called James. And I never really thought much about it. I just kind of went with it. And I wonder if that was would be a good change there. There's a change in my life, so then the name changed, even though it was my birthday.
We'll look at that right quick. That would be a real good example. So let's look at Jim. And so Jim is a 5. So that's more of fun. You know, play, party, laugh, travel, have fun. Then when you move to James, see what that comes out to be. James is, again, we would still look at what's on your birth certificate. It's most important. James is a 3. So James, a 3 is a little bit more creative energy, where a 5 is a more playful energy. So let's say you had a career or a project or something that you really needed to have your creative juices flowing. James would be the better name for people to call you or to go by. If you were vacationing and got to go to the south of France and sit on the beach for 6 weeks, Jim may be a better name for you to go by because it's a more freedom, fun-loving number.
That's very interesting because I did go travel, and at that time people were calling me Jim. And then when I went to James and I started writing music,
yeah,
That's kind of fascinating.
Yeah. So now, 3 and 5s are similar numbers. They do have some differences, but they're similar. A more exaggerated version would be, a 4 to a 5. Or even a 5 to a 6, because 5s are very freedom-oriented, and 6s more tend to think in terms of family. So we're 5s want to kind of be doing their own thing and, you know, do things solo and just hook up with the next bunch of people and have fun. Like, I'm a member of a travel club, and the prices are fantastic. If anybody has some 5s and want to just have fun, wonderful people to travel around the world with, they should contact me. But see, 6s would much more travel with their own family or their lifelong friends or people that they know really well. But 5s are adventuresome, and they want the adventure of new people traveling and doing things with.
Well, we've got about 4 minutes, as I see. So is there some kind of information you want to give, how people can get a hold of you, where you're going to be at, whatever kind of...
Well, we can do that, and there's one last thing that I could add, too, that's a little... My kind of own uniqueness on numerology, but my phone number is... I'm in Dallas. It's 214-616-5950. 214-616-5950. And then my email is Alexis with an E, because CE equals a 5, but it's Alexis, ELEXIS, at alexisrice.com, alexis@alexisrice.com. And email's a good way to get me. But now, one of the things that I do that hadn't been written on, but I'm working on this right now as we speak, when you add up your birthday number, and let's say it came to a 34, well, everybody would reduce that, and a 3 and 4 equals 7, and then you'd go around, you know, and 7 would be your number. I believe that the first number you come up with, like 34, that means that someone would lead with a 3. They're kind of winning formula personality, or their lead, or their same as their ascendant or their rising sign in astrology. It would be more like their persona is that first number. And then the 4 would be the next thing about them. So, for example, a 31-4, they like to talk and write and speak and communicate and network, and they take all that information and then run off and do it by themselves oftentimes because they're a 31. So they're the gatherer of information like a Gemini, but then they wind up doing it solo and running off. That's their natural tendency, to do it alone.
Huh.
So you can use it as what would be someone's lead-in and then also what the sum of the total of the energy is. It's a wonderful tool, and it's just for the information. It's not the cure. It's the X-ray. It's just the informant.
Could that be analogous to the sun sign and rising sign?
Exactly, because a lot of people don't know the difference between that. One's rising or ascendant. That word means the same thing. That's their persona. So let's say they have a Gemini ascendant, so they're very talkative and chatty and use their hands a lot. But they've got 5 planets in Scorpio. They're also very secretive and very private. Just because they're very chatty and talking a lot, they're not really revealing anything about themselves. So the rising sign is just simply the persona.
Yeah, it's what you see.
That's why I tell people in dating or forming new friends or new whatever, get out of the 90-day wonder. Because after about 90 days, you can move past the persona of someone and begin to see the dance that's going on among all the other planets, the Venus, Moon, Mercury, Mars. The most important thing is what cycles are you in for the next 12 months so that you can seize the day. Because you could have 6 weeks that are fantastic and you want to go for it, and then maybe 6 weeks it'd be better to just kind of be more of a hermit. So I work with people on the cycles they have coming up for the next year, both astrology and numerology, so you can seize the day. There are good times for investing and not so good times, and good times for forming partnerships and maybe not so good times. Buying and selling real estate, all sorts of things. So a lot of people use it for business reasons as well, just as some more information to act upon.
Yeah, I guess it's like a weather forecast. I mean, you can still go out in the rain, but if you prepare for it, it's easier than just walking around out, you know, and having it rain on you.
That's right. And out, you know, we get hail in Texas, so a lot of times they'll say it's going to hail. Well, good, pull your car in. If it didn't hail, so what? You've got your car pulled in. But if it did, then you're protected.
Right. Well, we've hit that magic point here, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing your information. Again, Alexis Rice, that's an E for Alexis, alexisrice.com is the website. And, boy, you got all kinds of things going for you, psychology, nutrition, biology, chemistry. What's left for you? What's your next thing?
Well, I'm not a techie, but my daughter is, and it's unfortunate because we're in such a time of technology, it'd be nice if I was, you know, more of a tech.
All right.
Well, open,
okay.
Learning
well,
new things.
All right, thank you again for your time and your information.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Here we go. Oh, what's this, Bryce? It is Just Energy Radio. I've been filling in for Dr. Reed. It will be back next week live on Just Energy Radio. And again, you can check out Dr. Rita on my show, Feet to the Fire. Someday, I think she's on. And I thank you for joining us, the questions, and we will see you next time.
Join host Dr. Rita Louise each week at this time for Just Energy Radio. Point your browser to www.justenergyradio.com for more show information and to contact Dr. Rita. Until next time, remember, it's all just energy.